pulse of the background screening industry. Brought to you by iCubed Advisors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. We're here with another wonderful iCubed Advisors webinar. We're doing the 2025 PBSA annual recap. So without further ado, we're just going to dive right into it. Kevin, what did we think about PBSA and what do you want to talk about today?
You know, I love it. So the five of us, as you guys know, we never spend a ton of time preparing for this. We like the thoughts to be organic, fresh, top of mind. We have a lightly circulated agenda of topics that we want to talk about. But I actually have a question for the group. What's a successful show? Because I see all the LinkedIn posts. Great show. Yeah. Ton of people what's success for you guys? How do you guys walk away from a show knowing whether it was a good one or a bad one?
I have the correct answer to this, but I'll let everybody else.
Oh, wow. Look at you, Miss Lightning Round.
For me, it's different depending on what you go to the conference for. I think as consultants, our goals are different than a vendor going there to sell, criminal records. For me, it's how many meetings I have and how many interactions I have with people. How many times I get to sit down, meet somebody new or somebody old, find out about new things going on in the industry, talking about future projects with people. The busier I am, the happier I am. And that means I had a good conference.
Yeah. For me, it's how many pranks I can pull on Jason inside of me. And when I'm done doing that, actually, I'll just speak from the standpoint of being a CRA. It's walking away with like three meaningful ideas, right? And I'm always big on the number of three. Those are things that you can immediately follow up on and take away from the conference that add meaningfully to what you're doing. So that's what I would say.
Yeah, I would go. I think it depends a lot on what you're trying to get out of it. Is it enjoyable? And it's kind of catching up with old friends and stuff like that. So conferences are always kind of enjoyable, but success for me, I think it's the takeaways at the end of the day, at the end of the conference. Is there something that I've got to take away to help me out with stuff I'm working on? Do I have takeaways to help somebody else out with stuff that they're working on? Like if I've got a good list of takeaways to follow up on from the conference, then I feel like it was a successful time, that it was actually worth the time and effort as opposed to just going and hanging out with a lot of friends in the bar at night.
Okay. So the real answer is vibes. And there is really hard, it's a hard thing to define, but at this conference, the Anaheim conference, the vibes were high. And I think it has there's a couple factors, and this is from my other life as an event planner. There are a few things you can do when you plan an event to keep vibes high. And one of it is just kind of atmosphere and environment. And I can't say that this Marriott was particularly wonderful or anything like that in terms of just hey, hotel had the basic things, but the layout was pretty straightforward and very high ceilings in the expo room. And so basically, it lent itself to a lot of air. I will say that also, I think the sponsors, and I know we're probably going to get into this, but I think the sponsors and people that were on the expo hall really stepped it up in terms of making their booths really interesting. It wasn't just the same old same to me. It felt like there was a lot more interesting things going on. And I think, and I'll say that for the sessions as well. But I think that that all kind of equates to vibes. And so I think all the other business stuff and all that falls into place when people feel good, when people are having a good time, and when people are just kind of have the energy and the spirit into, all those meetings. I agree. I was super busy. I was talking to so many people and got had really valuable, solid business conversations. And I just feel like everybody was really clear-headed and open. And I'm just going to equate it to vibe. So I don't know.
I want to pick up on what you said about the exhibitors, because I noticed that too. And was really pleasantly surprised. You walked into that, into the expo hall, and normally, how you feel this kind of dark, suffocating feeling. And I did not feel that way at all. I think the exhibitors really stepped up. Their backdrops were really nice. They presented themselves well. I think that was great. I want to go back to what you said about vibes, though. I think you're talking about the vibes of the actual conference and the way that it was presented. But, and Kevin, I hope I'm not stealing your thunder on this. I'm not sure that I necessarily picked up positive vibes necessarily from CRAs about how business is going right now and what they think the future of this business is. That was something that I kind of noted, I think was, if anything, more pessimistic than optimistic.
Yeah, I thought the exhibit hall, one thing that lended itself to the exhibitors looking better and presenting themselves better is the room was bright, like really bright, spread out in a way that you didn't, you know, walk into 15 booths right when you walked in. I think that had a lot to do with the, you know, with the vibrancy of it and was the layout for sure. The staff was great in the exhibit hall. There was PBSA staff walking around the entire time. I saw a lot of exhibitors stepping out of their booth to have side conversations with people, you know, new business. So that's all stuff I picked up on. And I agree with all of you. The booths look great. Everybody look great.
I'll echo a few of the thoughts and then run through some numbers and then we'll pivot to the next topic. Little under 800 attendees. I still don't love the split of attendees to exhibitors. That continues to worry me long-term. We're a little, I think this year it was 55-58% exhibit or attendees to exhibitors. However, I think about 150 to 200 attendees were first-time attendees. That is a monster number. About 150 of those were CRA attendees. I think it was wonderful. I think geographic location has something to do with that. You know, the East Coast, you get more East Coast, the West Coast, you get more West Coast. 68 exhibitors, 40 sessions. I'm the one who bangs the drum on more content, more content, more content. I know sometimes that is dependent upon the physical space available at the hotel. I think, you know, at the DC conference a year or two ago, we didn't have a breakout session until like Monday at 2 p.m. I didn't think that was nearly enough content. I think staff did a great job. 40 sessions, 14 solution spotlights, and staff, to the comments we've already shared, staff is absolutely, absolutely wonderful. And yeah, for me, a great conference is not only the opportunities we create as a business, but just the tone and the sense we get from the room, the ideas and the conversations that we have. I'm seeing kind of a bifurcation of sorts, where I think we're all starting to feel more and more positive about the annual conferences and more pessimistic about the mid-year conferences. We're not going to solve that case today, and it's not our job to fix that, of course, but that's certainly kind of the tenor and tone that I'm picking up on. People are really, really excited and bullish on the mid-year, or excuse me, the annual. The mid-year, you know, kind of is what it is for a bunch of people.
Yeah, mid-year is going to be the new hotel this year, so hopefully that will
for sure.
We're talking about in a better, you know, just a different hotel. I think that the Gateway is a little bit dated and a little bit worn, so a new hotel and also a much better location in the heart of DC. So yeah, lots more options and where to go out to dinner, where to go out for drinks, go out sightseeing if you're in early or late, all that kind of stuff. So hopefully that'll help with the vibe.
Well said.
One of you mentioned, you know, CRAs, being kind of gloom and doom about, I'm paraphrasing, about, you know, growth and what, how the businesses are doing. I kind of got the opposite sense of that from smaller to mid-sized CRAs. A lot of them seem to be growing, and I think they're growing because they're taking market share away from people. I talked to two companies that, I don't know, Kevin, I think we had pegged around $28, $30 million in our spreadsheet, in our analysis, and
they've really grown.
They've really grown. And these are people that aren't bullshitting me. So I think from that standpoint, we're definitely seeing some CRAs succeeding. Now that's going to plateau because there's only so much market share out there. But I think a lot of the innovative, smaller, mid-sized businesses are really starting to figure out how to do this right and how to market themselves correctly and sell correctly.
I'm glad to hear that because it needs to happen. I mean, I've never seen, we've talked about this on a few different webinars, that I've never seen this gap, such a huge gap between the really large companies in the industry and the really small competitors inside the industry. There has never been a shortage of mid-market suppliers. So I'm glad to hear that they're growing, and I hope that continues. Good for the industry. I mean, it's good for the big guys too, because eventually the big guys are going to want to acquire the guys that are medium size. So I think, you know, when everybody's doing well, it's good for the entire industry.
And the suppliers need somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or to sell to. You know, at length we've discussed and shared how, you know, less than 10 companies own 3/4 of the market. You know, suppliers need customers. And the 390 CRAs that remain, that growth has to come from somewhere. And Jason, I think your observations are right. It was exciting to see some people that we've known for a long time really starting to embrace new ideas, new products, new solutions in a way they may not have before. Before we pivot too far away, any exhibitors, any of the suppliers there of note that we want to call out?
I'll call out, I like to call it Osseo, because, you know, they obviously had a major tragedy this year with Barry Bowes tragically dying in a plane crash. And you know, I talked to a bunch of them and they didn't miss a beat. It seems like Barry had some very strong succession planning already in place. Those plans were implemented. That company has new ideas, new ways they want to do things. They've got a new interface coming out. Their entire staff was really energetic. Their booth vibe was awesome. They had like a game going on that you can win $10,000. So that just comes to the top of my mind. That was one of the first things that I noticed being in there. And with what happened to them this year, I'm really proud of what they've done.
Yeah, I want to double down on that comment. I mean, obviously, it was a horrible thing to happen. But, you know, for anybody that's listening, if you own a business, the succession planning, you don't know how important that is. You hope never, ever, ever that it comes into play. But they really did execute it well. And I tip my hat to them for all the good work that they're doing.
It's so funny because, Nick, we, you know, going back 15, 20 years, and by the way,
we never get on the same plane together and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, by the way, Employee Screen IQ was sold 10 years ago on Monday. So we just discussed that. But,
you know, my dead homies.
But, you know, Nick's right. Les, Nick's dad, you know, we had succession planning almost from day one. We had key man policies on us. We wouldn't fly together. You know, we had plans in place. It was Les's thing was always what happens if you get hit by a truck or hit by a bus in any position in the company. We always had plans for stuff like that. So, you know, tip my hat to them.
That's a great takeaway and advice for anybody listening. Just, you know, the blocking and tackling of your business. Great points, guys. Who else?
I was just going to say that in walking the show floor, there were a couple people that I wanted to, or a couple of things that I noticed. First of all, medical compliance companies. There are a lot more there than I have ever seen before. I mean, that was pretty much dominated by one or two players for a long time. And I saw a bunch of companies, not a bunch, a handful of companies there, including QDX Data, not exhibiting on the floor, but they were there and really excited to see what those guys are doing. I also want to give a shout out to InfoCheck. I haven't really dug into this new California. It seems like a California Nat Crim that they launched at the show. But I always like somebody coming up with new ideas in the industry. Again, I don't know how great it is, and I'm sure it is, but I always love to see people coming up with new ideas. So I hats off to them.
Bianca, you want to give a little plug right there? That's a good segue.
Yeah, we're going to be diving into InfoCheck's Crim Sweep plans and how they're starting in California to, I think, you know, really kind of help empower CRAs to get a hold of costs that are kind of getting out of control in tough areas, multiple county areas like California and other areas where there's a lot of difficulty. So yeah, that webinar is forthcoming. We're going to be, I think, sitting down with them on December 4th. You'll get the invite soon. And yeah, I love
that. By the way, that was not scripted. That was not a setup, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.
Free ad, basically.
Yeah.
But no, we're excited about that. And that was going to be one of my shout outs because, you know, they obviously put a lot of effort into making their presence, you know, kind of be really the center of that expo floor, too. So that was nice. I want to thank everybody who let me just obnoxiously butt into their booth and record my interviews. SPI was one of them, Affirm, definitely InfoCheck. I was there, TazWorks. And so I was glad and I appreciate everybody's participation. I recorded, I think, 19 interviews in one short day is all I had to get up to Anaheim. But it was so cool to talk to so many people and ask some kind of fun questions about the industry. And, you know, my goal was really to get some exposure for some brands, just kind of walk around and make sure everybody saw, you know, the great setups that were there, and get to kind of see the representation around the room. So thank you for all the participants.
I did a half dozen of them and realized that while I am charming and suave, I'm sure, but I cannot out Bianca. And so
the bar's high.
It's a losing effort.
Yeah, SPI, by the way, right there. Their booth. I love their purple. I love the color.
Yeah.
Eddie McGowan, their owner. And again, disclosure, somebody that we've known for Jason and I for 20 years and have worked with. It's nice to see her back in the space, super confident. Her and Andy Cashman, who also worked with us for a number of years, led, I thought, a really good session on bogs versus bots, which we may talk more about later on. But great to see them there. I do want to apologize to Alizen. I am the one who spilled the wine on their white tablecloth. It was not my fault.
Got
the little putting game. And I told somebody that the one-handed backhand putt is my best putt from like 3 feet. And they said, show me. And I showed them and knocked over a glass of wine. So
nice.
My bad, guys.
Real cool.
Andy, who'd you like on site?
Yeah, I was going to say, before I get into that, and I guess to segue into that, I just find it interesting we're talking here. We all went to the same conference, granted for slightly different time periods. And like what we got out of it, the people we talked, the takes we have are very different. It's just like, and that's, to me, that's the great thing about the conference when you go there. I mean, there's so much to learn, so many people to talk to. And if you're not finding something out, you're not learning something new, meeting somebody, then, you know, you're not probably not maximizing the opportunity there. Because for me, a thing I thought was really interesting was more on the automation and the AI, like listening to all the different bots that were there. There was, you know, Sachin has Sachin AI, which is pretty cool. He's actually got his face with it. And so you can have a conversation with Sachin, which is amazingly lifelike. I joked with Sachin was just going to start sending his avatar to the booth and not having to travel away from India going forward. Niamo had their agent Sam, I think it was, Superunit was there. Went to the Argus Verify, you know, their demo, which is really how to build your own agent. They walked you through live how to build an agent, which is pretty cool. So seeing all this AI agent and stuff like that, I thought was pretty cool. We'll see how many people actually decide to reach out and start implementing this stuff. But yeah, that's what I got out of it.
Is that a great segue? Because
I love it.
Look, first of all, I'm going to say this, and sorry, Kevin. This is where I'm giving the supply chain like a gold star over and over and over again. It used to be you walked into those halls and you were dealing with, you know, Bob's Pretty Good Countywide Research in Sacramento. And I got to tell you that the supply chain has stepped up their game and is in a position right now where I think CRAs really ought to take note of what they're doing, because there is a lot for them to learn from these suppliers. AI is the primary one that I am seeing more and more companies adopt in the supply chain. And, you know, as you talk to CRAs, I think this is another bifurcation here. Kevin, you talked about the conferences before. I'm going to talk about the difference between some CRAs that we talked to that are going in completely running 60 miles an hour as fast as they can to AI. And then there are others that have basically said, yeah, we use ChatGPT. And I think it's really important that CRAs do not miss this moment to take advantage of AI now, because if they don't, they're going to be behind the game really quickly.
Yeah, I love Andy's thoughts on this, right? And, you know, Andy said the magic words, or maybe it's a four-letter word, depending on what side you're sitting on. And Nick, right, some people are going 60 miles right into it. Other people are hitting reverse, and they are screaming backwards. So one thing I noticed, and then Jason chime in, there for as many people that are like AI is the future, there is a strong undercurrent of people who are like, I hate it. I don't like it. I don't believe it. This is blockchain all over again. I'm afraid of it. Fill in the blanks. That was really interesting to have a lot of those conversations as well.
Yeah, I talked to a couple that were just very
you know, bearish on it. And, you know, they asked one of them, I'm not going to use their name, but, you know, why do I need to be into this? And well, you know, you and your competitor who are the same size, one of them embraces AI, one of them doesn't, their costs are lower. They're going to offer what you're offering at a much lower price. That's the basics of it. I mean, you got to be able to compete.
More efficient for, you
and
know,
more efficient. Yeah, for sure. For
everybody,
sure.
Everybody is going to be elevating their performance because of this. And that's what it is. It's really not about making your business robotic, but it's like we talked about the Tandem AI guys. It's about that one less FTE or like whatever else that is going to give you the edge in an industry where margins are crazy tight, right? Like crazy tight on some of these products. But that's what I love too. I mean, for a long time that the time that I've been going to PBSA in the first couple of years, especially with social intelligence, I mean, it's like you're such a redheaded stepchild in that room where, yeah, exactly, Bob's criminal records left and right. And all we're talking about is that. And to get kind of shelf space on a CRA's platform or product space was really, really hard. And you know, in thinking about vibes at this conference, that was one of the top vibes, the AI of it all, and just the openness to not just be thinking so singularly and to really be thinking about how to diversify your company and embracing technology in general. AI is part of that conversation, but I think that was kind of just a big part of the vibes as well, is that it felt like a little bit more sophistication around some of these conversations of product diversification. So I really enjoyed that.
I think some people I talk to, you know, they're like, yeah, I'm using AI, but there's what they don't realize is a lot of disparate AI systems that are built into the things that you're already using. For example, QuickBooks laid out this whole new AI thing. I use it. It's great.
Yeah.
They're using that. And they're like, oh yeah, I'm using AI. Well, they're not using AI in the way that we're talking about using AI to improve your operations and efficiencies and all that kind of stuff.
But there's a lot of gold, Jason, in what you just said, right?
And for sure.
I do like that. More of the forward-thinking AI leaders are essentially saying, confessing is the wrong word, but they're like, listen, we get it if you don't want to, or, you know, like throw this in the middle of your operations department right now. But there's a lot of things that are the nuts and bolts of running your business that AI can really, really help you with. So I liked some of the leaders at companies that, you know, again, aren't thinking of these things every day, hearing some of those thoughts, because you can utilize it in a lot of different ways. And it ain't all just about determining whether a criminal record's reportable or not.
Well, for the first thing people need to do is really understand what AI is.
Yeah.
You know, because people fear what they don't understand. They fear it because they have no, it's too complicated for them. It's over their head. They think they're not going to understand it. So they fear it. So I think a lot of people just going to some of these sessions and understanding what it actually is, and then understanding how to apply it to their business, that's a big step.
Yeah, I mean, that is a huge thing. It's just such a huge, huge range of ways you can put it into use and implement it. And there's all these conversations. I made this post on LinkedIn yesterday. It's kind of like self-driving cars, right? Like people are so anti-self-driving cars. Well, had an accident. Well, yeah, but people have accidents too, right? And so it doesn't need to be perfect. AI doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to not hallucinate necessarily. It can still get more answers right than the average person and still be a better tool to use. So that's one of the things. I think some of the people that are anti-AI read these stories about hallucinations and where AI messed up. I'm like, well, I can't use it till it's perfect. No tool is perfect. And it's just a question of whether you can use it to make your business better. And the answer to that is undoubtedly yes, and undoubtedly now. You don't have to wait for this to get better.
Yes, yep. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, people. Hang in there.
No, I think that's wonderful. And Andy, I would be remiss. International vendors, international opportunities, things that you saw on the floor. And was the fact that this was in California, did that change some of those thoughts? Because it seems like you were pretty bullish on what you saw.
Yeah, no, thanks. Yeah, the international turnout I thought was really good at this. I love seeing people showing up, because I say it time and again, but I know I've said it multiple times before. There's a lot of innovation happening outside the US in our space. A lot of cool things happening out there. And it used to be, I think everything started in the US, went outwards, but I don't think that's the case anymore. So seeing some of these vendors show up, some of them were just walking the floor, just there to participate. Some people were doing sessions and educational sessions. I don't think there were a ton of booths from the non-US vendors, but just seeing them show up and become more a part of what we're doing, hopefully to also teach us as well as learn from what we're doing, I think that's great, cross-pollinating ideas. So I love to see that trend continue.
That's a really great observation on innovation kind of coming from outside the States, moving inward, whereas historically it might have been the other way around. And another thing that I like is, yeah, to Andy's point earlier, you know, we all have, you know, five different perspectives on the show. A lot of things can be both opposite and true, you know, incorrect and correct at the same time, depending on where you're sitting. I had a conversation just today on blockchain, and I'm pretty bearish on blockchain, mostly because it involves hand-to-hand combat. Office workers, professionals, we can get it. We understand the idea. Upload your stuff, portable, transferable. But, you know, is the gas station attendant, is the oil refinery worker, like, how's that participation and engagement going to occur across 150 million employed people, right? That's hard for me to get over. That's why I tend to be more bearish than bullish on portability and transferability of reports.
Well, there's also no way to make money at it.
Yeah, but I had a conversation.
And then there's also the fact that there are elements of a background check that no matter what, they're not static.
Yeah, right. The FCRA, you know, complete, accurate, and up to date doesn't go away. But like to the points that we're sharing here, I had a conversation earlier today and it was an outside of the US entity. And for that entity, it's a perfect solution. So it's really about broadening the thought here. It's really about taking that perspective and kind of ignoring the noise and finding out, are there opportunities and solutions that work for you and your business? And a lot of really good conversations about those ideas.
Yeah, that's why I think where sometimes some of these things are easier to get started overseas. You have, US is just such a big entity. And with 50 states, the way things work, it's just really hard to get that critical mass. I think like blockchain, unless enough people are using it on the same blockchain platform, it doesn't have quite the same value. It's kind of an operating system on your computer. Nobody else is using it. What's the point? But you look like UK has digital ID rolled out now. So services is a digital ID that they don't provide the digital ID per se, but they have an accreditation system so private sector companies can do the digital ID. They have a whole right to work platform now that's set up. So you can go on and verify directly with the government the right to work status of somebody. Yeah, things like that, that it's a much smaller country. So it's a lot easier to get that accomplished with one government rather than 50 governments plus a federal government. Australia has digital driver's licenses that we're starting to get in the US right now. You see digital academic credentials, which aren't really totally blockchain, but they're kind of like, you know, NFT type built on blockchain, as I understand it. So I think a lot of this stuff will start to get more widespread, more commercially acceptable and viable outside the US. And we're going to have to learn how to play with it.
Yeah, we have all that. Colorado is very progressive when it comes to digital ID and digital everything, like never having to pull your wallet out of your pocket. So we've had it here for a while.
No, go ahead, Jason.
Go ahead. I was nothing. Go ahead.
Yeah. So one thing that I know, you know, when we curated our light agenda here, and something that I talk about a lot and it worries me, again, we'll speak out of both sides of our mouths here. Attendance and participation by the largest CRAs in the space. I continue to feel, and chime in with your thoughts, guys, because I know some are different than mine. I continue to feel that the top of the industry does not present well at PBSA, with the gross exception of HireRight. HireRight sent 15 people. I think it's amazing. And I love how invested they still are on the show floor, committee work, sessions, etc. Yes, there were a couple people from other organizations, large CRAs there. But what worries me, and it's actually where I'm very bullish on what the suppliers have been doing. Suppliers are looking for new markets because they understand their buyers. They have to go to new places for new buyers. But I'm just not seeing a ton of buyers from the largest CRAs talking to Bob about doing Sacramento County.
No,
and maybe it's before the place for it.
Their goal right now, Kevin, is to get away from the supply chain as much.
Yeah, exactly.
They right. Do it all on their own.
Yeah, that's why I'm excited.
By the way, there's something wrong with that.
Buyers are looking for those new opportunities because those aren't there anymore.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know if I agree, guys. I mean, I think, again, HireRight had a lot of people there. First Advantage had at least three or four that I know of. Accurate had a ton of people. Accurate probably had 10 at least people there. and their head of procurement. So she was walking around, you know, talking to vendors and looking at new vendors and everything. Checker had a bunch of people there. I don't know how much more represented you're going to get by those guys. They had the right people there. You know, and I saw them in sessions and everything too. So I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think the amount of people they have and like the way they show up is probably about right for them. And I think that like, it's just not really for that purpose, or we have to kind of think about like, who's PBSA really for? What are you really like there for? And yes, it would be wonderful if some of these suppliers got some face time with some of the largest CRA representatives. But as we all know, like those kind of large enterprise deals are, they're big whales. They take a very long time. And while those things help, a lot of it has to infiltrate that company. You have to infiltrate that company in a lot of different ways. And so I think that, you know, PBSA is just not really for that. Like, really? I mean, or maybe we need to kind of start thinking about it in a way that, you know, if you are a supplier and that's one of your intentions, it could be kind of like a bonus thing. You could have a way to kind of deepen those relationships, infiltrate those larger CRAs, but you know, this might be a mid-market conference and that's okay. You know what I mean? Like that's,
But let's remember that there's more to a conference than just the exhibit floor. And this goes back to the idea that we were talking about at the pre-PBSA webinar that we did, which is a track for a reason for those companies to want to come, doing some kind of an educational track that would appeal to those companies. Now, you're right. It might not help on the exhibit floor, but it certainly would help in terms of getting those people there. And I do think that as an industry, it needs to be represented at all levels equally. And so that's just kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah. And it sure is with the dues, you know, and Andy would have more insight on that than I do. But yeah, I love it because all these things can be true at the same time. It's less opinion for me, more maybe observations that are just baked in the cake. Bianca, I love how you said it. Maybe this is a market, you know, these are shows better suited for mid-market and small CRAs. And I think you're right. And again, the show is what you want it to be. Some people go to the show saying, I want to create five opportunities and meet five people whom I might be able to buy. And that is their objective. So yeah, I think all these things are true.
I'm more concerned about small CRAs that don't come.
Yeah.
You're never going to grow. You're never going to find better vendors. You're never going to find different solutions and more products and be able to collaborate with people. If you're a smaller CRA and you're not coming to these things, like I can't see you being around in a couple of years if it's just something you're not for and not absorbing that other information.
Yeah, agree completely. I mean, it's such an opportunity to learn from other business owners. I think Nick, you're right. There's a lot to be said for like creating tracks that are of interest. And I think other smaller or mid-sized CRAs could learn from tracks like that too, right? If you're creating like a executive, you know, something or the other, or some kind of idea that is a little bit more elevated than, you know, it's such a niche small thing. But if you're learning how to grow, and if it, especially not just like the small ones, but there's a decent amount of CRAs that are in that $10 to $20 million phase that want to make that leap. Well, you're going to have to learn how to do that. Yep. And how did you scale your sales and marketing efforts? How did you really get out there and change the game? And so I think there's maybe two sides of the coin there. That's a great possibility. But yeah, I mean, the way things are at the moment and the way that it looks, yeah, there's still some folks showing up. And so if you are a smaller mid-sized CRA looking, or I'm sorry, a supplier kind of looking to connect with those people, you know, take our advice from our PBSA prep and get your list together, get some meetings set up and get organized, get out there and deepen those relationships, because you might only get one or two people from that company. So you better grab it while you got it.
Yep. For sure. Well said. Yeah, Nick, I continue to be concerned into Jason's comments around smaller CRAs, mid-sized CRAs who think this isn't worth the investment. I think all five of us would wholeheartedly say, buy the plane ticket, reserve the space in the hotel, make your registration, do it early. We got a question. I did a end user session with Rebecca Weiser and Aaron Novak. And one of the questions we got about it was quality, or how do you get to be in an RFP? How do you get on the list, et cetera? And I shared some stats from our research reports. And it was something, I think I said something like 90% of the revenue that flows through the screening industry goes through accredited companies. 25% of the companies that are PBSA CRA members are accredited.
Only 25, is that right?
Becomes a math equation at that point.
I actually thought it had gotten better than that. Wow.
It's about 120, I think, are accredited total.
Yeah. And we have a list of 400. That makes sense.
It's just math. Wow. You know?
Unreal.
So, all right. We could do this all day, but our audience can't. Final thoughts, guys, before we wrap up?
To build on what we were talking about the small CRAs. I just can't encourage it enough. I'm going to a conference in December that in a brand new industry where I'll know nobody, just to learn what I don't know. There's so much I don't know, just to be able to sit there and collaborate with people and learn all the stuff that I don't know. That's what people should be doing. That's what we all did, you know, in the late 90s. We went to Steve Brownstein's conference just to find out what we didn't know. Can't believe people aren't going to the smaller companies aren't coming.
Yeah, I would say my final thought is just good vibes and congrats to and well done to the exhibitors out there, and also to the speakers who put together really interesting and diverse set of content out there. That we had a bunch of things to choose from, and well done on the good vibes, PBSA.
Yeah, exactly what Jason said. I could put in actual real dollars the amount of money, the investment, return on investment from attending these conferences personally, whether it's finding suppliers, getting knowledge, having somebody to go to when I've got a question because I met them at the conference, hung out and had a beer at the bar, whatever it might be. Now I got a question on some random thing and I can call them up, send an email, send a chat message and get an answer right away. I mean, the kind of stuff that otherwise you're going to be spending attorneys or consultants or stuff like that, not to knock consultants because we obviously like that, but... You know what I'm saying? So I can't stress enough either that spending the money in these conferences, there's a return on investment you're going to get tenfold over.
Where else are you going to go? There's no other conference like this. This is the one. You have to be there.
And Andy said it better than I can, and I'll do my final thoughts as succinctly as I can. If your business is in Montana, and you share information and thoughts and tips and tricks and successes and challenges with somebody in Minnesota, that's okay. Your business is not going to, like, we don't have to worry about giving people our secrets. None of us are smart enough anyways that we know all the answers ourselves. Sharing, learning, talking, engaging, being authentic. This is how we learn from each other. It is absolutely worth every penny you spend to go to a PBSA show. And like Jason said, I am sad that not enough do.
But well done for the ones that did. Yes. And on a high note, everybody.
Take us home.
I give it a really solid time, and I'm glad. Thank you again to everybody who participated in the interviews from IQ, but also just in general, just appreciate all the effort that everybody put into showing up, making it really interesting, and giving us good vibes. That's all we really want out of life, right? So thank you all. That's right. Yes, ma'am. I mean, trained so well already. Look at that. What did Nick say the other day? He said, "You're so right," or he said, "You're always right," or something
right,
like that.
I don't argue with you. There's no reason.
These guys are learning. So I hope everyone else took a few nuggets out of this one today too. Thank you as ever for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Join us December 4th for our next webinar. Thanks again, everyone. Bye now.
Thanks.